All right, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. And then we'll be in Proverbs chapter 31. First of all, Genesis chapter 50. We have been discussing matters of Christian character. It's one thing to learn facts about the Bible. It's another thing completely to live in a way that is taught to us by our Lord in His Word. And this afternoon, we want to talk about the biblical doctrine and the biblical truths regarding kindness. I know you wouldn't think that you'd have to say a word to any saved man, any saved woman about being kind. And yet, over and over and over again in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit has to tell us to be kind. It must be that either we don't know or we forget, or we're just so self-centered that we're waiting for everyone else to be kind to us instead of just jumping on board and being kind to others. But so that you know what we're discussing, kindness is defined. Let's look at that definition. It's in your notes there. Goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. I guess that's why we have to be told that that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes or supplying their wants or alleviating their distresses. And kindness ever accompanies love. So it seems that the matter is summed up in the word of our New Testament, let each esteem other better than themselves. We all want to be happy. We all want to have our wishes, wants, and distresses ministered to. And the Lord said, just take that and flip it over. Just be toward the other person what you so desire them to be towards you. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll look at some scriptures this afternoon. Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful that we have your word. We would not naturally know how to treat others if you hadn't shown us and been our example and put it in black and white in your holy scriptures. We're grateful we have them, Lord, to show us our shortcomings. We certainly all have them. I don't think anyone would disagree. And so, Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. And help us to begin, if we aren't already, exercising towards others a brotherly kindness that needs to be there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, the Bible says in Genesis 50 and verse number 19, and Joseph said unto them, speaking to his brothers, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a great starting point, because here's a man who determined, I'm going to use my ability to speak, I'm going to use my opportunities in life to be kind to others. I'm going to take this occasion to be a blessing to these people who are standing before me right now. Who are these people standing before Joseph? Verse number 20, ye thought evil against me. And did they ever? That's the truth. These are the brethren. And if you don't know the story, these are the brothers of Joseph. They plotted his murder first, and then being talked out of that, they sold him into slavery. And Joseph ended up in prison, and he's now been taken out of the prison. And by the grace of God and the hand of God, he's been exalted to a position the number two position in the kingdom of Egypt. And now standing before him are the people who wanted to put him to death. Now standing before him are the people who sold him into bondage, who are responsible for his imprisonment. And he says, you know what? I've got an opportunity to be kind. And you haven't been good to me, but God has been good to me. And you haven't treated me well, but God has treated me. He's treated me very well. And so I'm just going to opt to act toward you as God acted toward me, not as you have acted toward me. And so I'm going to be kind as God was kind to me. And what I learned, what I hope we all learned from this first stop in our Bible today, is that kindness is not something that is reciprocal. You probably thought it was. Kindness is not paying a debt. You know, you were so kind to me, I'll be kind to you. It's natural. That's just a natural thing. I mean, kindness is something that we receive from the Lord, and then we pass it on to others. That's clear from this passage. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. If you've read the account of this virtuous woman, this dear lady is up before dawn. She's working, and she's still working by candlelight long after the sun has set. And she's ministering to her husband. She's ministering to her children. She's tending to the finances, and she's tending to the affairs of the home. And the only thing I can find about the husband in this chapter is that he sits around in the gate and brags on her. He brags to the guys that he's hanging out with there. It's a good situation if you can get into one like that. But the Bible says in verse 26, Proverbs 31, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Is the law of kindness. Now, there's many things that, well, maybe not you, I'll speak for myself. There are many things that I do because the law requires me to do them. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be interested. There are many things I do because if I did not, the law has power to penalize me. And so we understand that this phrase law carries with it some force, some power, or some compulsion. Okay? Now, there is no law in God's commandments, "You will be kind." Okay? "I order you to be kind." No, you won't find that. This woman, what she did was she imposed upon herself a law. You know, she said, no matter how I'm treated, I'm going to be kind. No matter how I'm spoken to, I will be kind. Whatever the circumstances are in my life, I will be kind. I've found many times in my life, the laws that govern me, man's laws, they're detrimental to me. I find a lot of times in my life that the laws of God that govern me sort of constrain me and put me in spots that I might not volunteer for. This woman, she said, and that's what made her a great woman of virtue, by the way, she said, "I'm going to make it a law that whether it's to my advantage or not, or whether it discomforts me or not, I am going to be kind." How about that? We're not always treated kindly where we work. We're not always treated kindly where we live. And unfortunately, sometimes we're not treated kindly in the place where we go to church. Let's make it a law. I'm going to be governed by kindness. I will be kind. Now, you got a lot more in your notes there. I'm not going to have you turn to them. I'm going to read them to you real quickly for the sake of time. In Genesis 24, verse 12, he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. In Genesis 40, verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Joshua 2:12. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. And we read this morning, 2 Samuel 9:1. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? These and many, many, many other passages in the Bible show kindness being prayed for, a man asking God for kindness, or kindness being asked of another individual, or a man saying, I want to bestow kindness upon someone. In all of these cases, kindness, it's not paying a debt. Kindness is not settling a score. No, it's God. God, you owe me nothing. Would you be kind to me? David saying, I owe the house of Saul nothing. But how can I be kind to them? Rahab saying to those spies, when you come in to destroy this city, I know we're all doomed to die by the decree of a conquering God. Would you be kind enough to spare me? What I see in this pattern that shows up throughout the scriptures is that kindness is not repaying someone. Kindness is not bestowing upon someone what is owed them. Think about this. Why would an adult be kind to a child? Why would a man be kind to a stranger? Why would a woman be kind to an unsavory neighbor? Kindness is a character trait of a Christian. Okay? Why would God have ever been kind to me? Okay? Why would the Lord of glory be kind to you on a daily basis? We're not talking about paying up, are we? Obviously. We're not talking about settling scores. We're talking about a way of acting and living and speaking and treating others that comes directly from God into our hearts and lives and flows from our hearts and lives to others. Not others who are deserving, because we certainly are not deserving, but others who need to see what God has done for me in my life. And so let me do this for you in your life. Kindness. It may be done out of love for another, or may be done out of love for self. And obviously, one of those is better than the other. In Genesis chapter 34, let's look at a case there. Genesis 34. And verse number 3, the Bible says in Genesis 34, verse 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. So he's in love with the girl. When he sees her, the music plays in the background. When he sees her, the birds begin to sing and twitter about. And it's easy, therefore, for him to be kind to her because he loves her. Okay? In Proverbs 19, verse 22, chapter 19. The Bible simply says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. When you give, what is the desire of your heart? I mean, because that's what counts. Okay? The widow who gave a mite in Mark 12:42 showed kindness in that act. She was showing kindness because it was her intention to give her all for the Lord that she loved. But when Ananias and Sapphira gave, when they gave that huge tithe to the church, yeah, sure, it was much more than the widow's mite, But they were destroyed for lying to the Holy Ghost. So it's important when you give to give with a willing mind. That's what 2 Corinthians 8:12 says. Here, the desire of a man is his kindness. Okay? Why are you being kind to someone? Is it an act of love or a genuine desire to put a smile on somebody's face? Okay, that's true kindness. Some of you have a business, and in order to succeed in your business, you are kind to your customers. Your customers, though, they're often quite unpleasant, and yet it's your pleasure, to serve them. Okay? Well, wow, there's an amazing business model for you where we teach our employees to be kind to our customers. What a novel idea. Might catch on, but probably not. Why? Because it's difficult for the employer to staff his business with people who are going to be kind to the customers, because that employee doesn't get paid any more or any less if they're kind or unkind. They don't have any vested interest in being kind to the customers, okay? But because they're going to get the same hourly wage regardless of how they treat anybody. When you travel, when I travel, you get these questionnaires in your email. How was the service at check-in in your hotel? How was the service on the flight? How was the service in this restaurant? And if it's what it's supposed to be, you might just check the box that says average. So here comes the follow-up questionnaire from a manager. You know, why did you check average and not excellent? Well, because the person did what they were supposed to do. They didn't pay my bill. They didn't wash my car. They did what they were supposed to do. So why am I giving you that illustration? Because people are, in their mind, they think, well, I was kind to him twice, and he acts like he doesn't even care. That's not the point. Being kind, did you know that's just average if you're a Christian? Being kind is just the minimal expectation to be a representative of Jesus Christ. See, we're not being kind to the lost so that they will contribute to our building fund. We're not being kind to the saved so that they'll invite us over for dinner. We're being kind because it's part of living the Christian life that you just treat others the best way you possibly can. That's not excellent conduct, by the way. That's mediocre. That's just what is expected. Well, you know, I came home and my wife, she was rude to me, so I just decided I wasn't going to be kind to her all night because she didn't deserve it. Kindness, again, is not deserved. Well, you know, all day I waited for my husband to get home, and when he got home, he wore his dirty shoes in the house, and I had to clean the rug a second time. Well, okay, so you understand. That is flesh, you understand. The flesh is what wants to even the score. Okay? The flesh says, I will treat others the way I am treated. But the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to be kind. To be kind. Okay? Not score settlers, not mirrors, not reflections, but channels of blessing. As Jesus Christ is kind to me all the time, continually, even when the people I work with are not. Even when my classmates are not. Even when the person sitting next to me in church is not. I'm not receiving my directions for living from the people around me and by how they treat me. I'm receiving my directions for living from Christ, who is always kind to me, always gracious to me, and always desiring to make my life a blessing. And so this governing principle of kindness, that comes from Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at some more verses together here. Luke chapter 6. And I know these are difficult teachings. Well, easy to absorb in the brain, but hard to put into practice, I guess. Luke chapter 6, verse number 31. Luke 6, 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's pretty simple. Okay? We don't have to make a list of how to be kind. Just think about, how do you want to be treated? Okay? See, everybody knows what kindness is when it comes their way. Verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Okay? In other words, anybody can do that, saved or lost. 33, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? Okay? I gave kindness, I gave love, I gave cheer, I gave grace. So when's it coming back my way? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Okay? It requires no help from God to give back what you get. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. How about that? Now, this afternoon, without asking, I can tell you that of the several hours you've been awake today, there has been very little time spent in thanking God for all of the blessings in your life. And one reason it's important that we take time to sing congregational songs is that it compels us to spend a little time saying thank you to God. But for all the meals and the clothes and the housing and the health and all the blessings and all the spiritual gifts and the eternal life and the sins washed away, God gets very few thank yous from me and from you. And yet, he's kind every hour of every day to me. It says unthankful and to the evil. We say, well, you know, we all sin a little bit. Yeah, but we're not supposed to. Well, you know, everybody's got their problems. Yeah, I don't know. We're so accustomed to sinning and coming short of the glory of God that we lose the wonder of his grace and his long-suffering and his patience and how many times a day he forgives us. He pardons us. He withholds chastening and punishment because he's kind. So we say, well, you know, we just ought to confess our sins to God. Well, when's the last time you tried that? And the last time you tried it, how far did you get? It would take the rest of our day to confess the sins of the last two or three days. And yet, here we are, healthy, clothed, fed, somewhat comfortable, waiting for our next meal that we're sure is going to be there. And you know why? Because God is kind. He's kind. So he says, here's what I'm asking. I'm not asking you, how did that person treat you? I'm not asking you, how did they speak to you? I'm not asking you if you got from them what you expected or even what they promised. I'm asking you, were you kind? Because I was kind to you, and I didn't get what I expected. I was kind to you, and I wasn't treated the way that I obviously deserve to be treated. And it's interesting, he says there in that 35th verse, he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You know what mercy is? It is not giving someone what they deserve. Okay? If salvation was by works, I don't know about you, I would have to walk. I wouldn't be able to drive, because driving is one of those things that tends to really get the flesh stirred up, especially in this country. He cut me off, so I'm gonna what? Okay, endanger 30 other drivers and their families so that you can get in a position to pay him back and cut him off? And then what? Oh, I feel better now. That was some accomplishment. Well, what did I do? I'm speaking hypothetically here, of course. I risked my life and the lives of others around me to seek an opportunity to treat somebody the way that I was treated, which was bad. So what? I don't benefit. He doesn't benefit. Those three cars over there in the ditch don't benefit. And if you think about it, there's really no satisfaction to be had in getting even. There's really no satisfaction to be had in trying to get back at someone. But oh, the blessings of God that flood our heart when we surrender our flesh and give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, go ahead, help yourself, do what you want to me. Isn't there a joy when that guy, he's right up on your bumper, pushing, probably flashing. Finally, there's a little gap, and there he goes in the emergency lane, throwing rocks at you. There he goes, right past you. And then he gets close to tries to get as close to your car, brake checks you, try to get you in an accident. And then there's traffic or a stoplight or something, and he has to stop anyway. And you pull up right up next to him and wave. So that's so much more satisfying. You know, you just did nothing. You let him do what he wanted to do. See, we think we're going to be happier in our home if we shout back. We think we're going to be happy in our relationships if we trade insults. We think we're going to have a better social life, falsely so called, if we respond to every criticism on that social media stuff. You know what the Lord said? He said, you guys better all be glad that I'm not one who settles scores. I'm just kind. God delights in contributing to my happiness. He cheerfully gratifies my wishes, supplies my wants, alleviates my distresses. And we're supposed to walk in his steps. We're supposed to follow him. Look at Ruth chapter 1. Back in the Old Testament, just before Samuel. Ruth chapter number 1. Joshua judges Ruth. Okay, Ruth chapter 1, verse number 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The dead speaking of their husbands. Now, we'll not tell the whole story here of Naomi and her daughters-in-law, but their two husbands are dead and in the grave. She will never, ever be repaid for the kindness, okay? These two girls will never be repaid for the kindness that they showed their husbands, okay? Ruth's mother-in-law, she too is now a widow. She's returning to her homeland in poverty. And she says to these girls there, there's no point. There's no point in you trying to go with me because I can't repay you for your kindness. Now, I chose this verse out of many because kindness, again, is not investing. Kindness is not giving to get back, you see. Kindness is not giving back as you got, okay? Nor is kindness giving so that you can get back. Okay, that's not the reason these ladies were kind to their husbands. And so, you know, I'm not going to be kind to you in hopes that you'll be kind to me. I'm going to be kind to you because it's just the right thing to do. You know, I'm not going to be kind to the lost and kind to my brothers and sisters in Christ and kind to the unthankful and kind to the evil so that maybe they'll turn around and straighten up and finally be kind back to me. I have no expectation that this world is going to treat me with kindness. I have no expectation that unsaved people who belong to the devil are going to treat me kindly because I knock on their door or because I preach to them or offer them some gospel literature. I'm doing it because I want them to know how great it is to be saved. I found how great it is to be saved, and if I offer you the gospel and you cuss at me, it's okay. I wasn't offering you the gospel so that you would be nice to me. If I read the gospel to you and you don't get saved, okay. I didn't offer you the gospel so that our church membership could grow or I could put a notch on my soul winner's belt. Okay? I want you to know Jesus. I think we become weary in well-doing because we make these little bargains with God or with ourselves. Okay, when I get home, I'm going to be kind. And God, I'll give you 3 days to change everybody in my family, and then I'll start being unkind again, if they're not. And God, you know, I've had it up to here with that guy, and I'm going to be nice to him one more time. And if he's rude to me, one more time, that's it. I'm done trying. That's not kindness. Kindness in the Bible is doing the best you can for somebody else for their benefit, whether they can ever repay you or not, whether they deserve it or not. Again, the Lord is our greatest example. How can we possibly repay his kindness? He knows we can't pay him back. He has no expectation we'll be able to pay him back, but he just keeps being kind. Keeps being kind. In Psalm 117, we'll illustrate that, what I just said, with scripture. Psalm 117. You want to memorize an entire psalm? This one's a lot easier than 119. Psalm 117 is only two verses. Verse 1, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Merciful. See, he didn't give me what I had coming. Kindness. He treated me in a way that would be best for me. Praise God. "For his merciful kindness is great toward us." So here's what God is asking. I want you to treat others not the way others treat you. I want you to treat others not even in a way that you hope they would treat you. I want you to treat others the way I have treated you. And that's great kindness, undeserved, unappreciated, that will never be repaid. Whew, that's a high calling, isn't it? Yeah. All right, Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll be honest with you. My kindness, not only does it come short of God's kindness, it really lacks endurance. How about you? Don't you find that when you get all prayed up and you're all fired up to do something for God and you get out there maybe passing out tracts on the street or maybe door knocking, maybe you're inviting people to church, and I'm all in. I want those people saved. I'm all in. I want them to hear about Jesus. Yeah, all in until they cuss at you for a while. All in until they slammed a few doors in your face, right? And I don't know about you, but if this kindness thing isn't a governing law in my heart, if it's just something I'm trying to put on, take off, put on, take off, it doesn't wear well. Look at God's kindness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Well, that's a blessing. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, some men win trophies. When I was growing up, man, I always wanted to win a trophy. I never won any trophies for sports because I never really got serious enough about any sport. I won several trophies at the High School Music Awards ceremony, but you know, when you win a trophy, you put them on display in your house so that when people come over and visit, they say, "Oh, what's that? That's a trophy." You know, "Oh, what did you get the trophy for?" "Oh, second place as the only baritone player in the band." Think about that for a minute. "What's that plaque for?" "Oh, best attendance record." "Oh, that's great." And you know, in the moment, at that time, you put it up there and it says, "At one point, I did something great one time." Okay? You know what the Bible says? In eternity, the Lord is going to put you up there like a trophy and say, "Look at that. I did something great one time." Okay? Not you. You're not the one that did something great. You're actually the trophy. See, I'm the trophy. You're the trophy. The Lord's going to say, look, I did something great one time. Wow, how did you do that? That's quite an accomplishment. How did you do that? You know what the verse says? Kindness. I won that trophy by kindness. Isn't that amazing? You think about some of us, you think about how many times you rejected Christ and rejected the gospel and scorned the word of God and sinned against the Lord. And here comes another witness. Here comes another wave of conviction. Here comes another invitation from the Holy Ghost. Here comes another offer to wash your sins away in his blood. We are going to be on display for all of eternity so people can see how kind Jesus Christ was. But you know something? And this is the truth. 5 years old, I heard how to be saved. Didn't get saved. 6 years old, 7 years old, hear the gospel, don't get saved. Joined the Marine Corps. Got to go to church because that's what good people do. I thought I was a good people. Hear the gospel, don't get saved. I even had an Amway salesman come to my house and gave me the gospel one night. Still didn't get saved. hear the gospel on TV one morning, finally get saved. You know why I'm not in hell this afternoon? It's sure not because I was good to God. It's sure not because I showed any respect to Jesus Christ. He just kept being good to me because he desired my well-being, and I'm going to be on display forever so that people say, Jesus Christ is very kind. God is very kind. Now, you know what the Lord doesn't need? He doesn't need another angry, cussing, bitter street preacher. He doesn't need another angry, sour, woman-insulting, minority-insulting, political activist pastor standing in a pulpit. He needs some people who understand how kind God has been to them and who are trying to pass along to the world and to the saints the kindness of God, undeserved by any of us or any of our hearers. God has been really good to us, been really, really good to us. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Just want you to see these verses. Maybe you didn't know there was so many verses on kindness in the scriptures. And we'll just move through these a little quickly here. Romans chapter 12. Here's our instructions. Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. How can you be kind to others? You prefer them to yourself. You prefer them to yourself. Here's an example. My mother was always thin when I was a child, when I was growing up, and that's because all the cakes and all the cookies that she baked, sure, she would have liked to have eaten them herself, but instead she sat back and let her kids eat them until they were full. And I was never full. And so it's a mom thing. You know, it's a kindness thing though, isn't it? It's no. You can have it. Go ahead. You take it. Well, come on, Mom. Don't you want some? Well, see, there's six cookies. There's five kids. The kids are each going to eat one cookie. Then they'll fight over the sixth one, and Mom will just do without. And why? Because she opts to make her children happy rather than herself. Okay? You want to have a good marriage? Just opt for your spouse to be happy. Okay? You want to have good friendships? Just opt for your friend to be happy. Okay? You want to enjoy church? Stop showing up and saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. Come to church and say, how can I help? What can I do? Anybody here need anything? Because it's a command given by God who has our well-being at heart. And he says, be kindly affectioned one to another. Just treat the other person as best as you can. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll get back to that phrase, kindly affectioned, in a minute. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Okay, they've got to go together. They must go together. Meekness, long-suffering. Okay, so we're told, put on kindness. Put on kindness. Keep that in mind. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Just want you to see these in the Bible. verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Okay, that's what we're trying to do in these messages. And to virtue, knowledge. Okay, we're learning the truth of these things, adding to our knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, meaning I'm controlling my thoughts, my heart, my emotions are under control. And to temperance, patience, we covered that last week. And to patience, godliness. Okay, and what is the first evidence of godliness? And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so look, I can teach you knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can teach me knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will never produce fruit in our lives if we don't add to that knowledge kindness. Kindness. Guys, we can teach you the Bible, but if you don't learn to treat people with kindness, nobody's going to come and listen to you talk about the Bible. Okay, so kindness, it's important. One more stop, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. First Corinthians 13, 4. Charity, remember that's a Bible word for love between Christians. Between Christians. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. So let's go back to God's treatment of us. Let's go back to some of the examples, some of the things we talked about. I can be kind to people who don't cause me any suffering. Okay? I can even be kind to people who cause me just a little bit of suffering once in a while. But can I suffer long and be kind? Well, listen, if I'm trying to be kind, then no. If I'm kindly affectioned, yes. Okay? If I know I'm supposed to be kind, and you know, I put my wallet in the back pocket, I put my keys in the front pocket, and I put kindness right here in my shirt pocket, you know, in case I need to be kind, I've got it with me. It's not going to last. That's not going to work. You know why God can be kind all the time? Because He is kind. God doesn't want us to try to be kind occasionally, see? He wants us to become kind, kindly affectioned. And we're going to have a lesson on that. I don't want to give it away, but passion, just briefly, passion, that's in it means in the presence of something, in the sight of something, I get all stirred up and I want to do right because I'm inspired by something I see. Okay, I'm emotionally stimulated. But affection is different. Affection, it's an abiding condition of the heart. Okay, it's a genuine aspect of the character. Our goal, for example, as parents, is to teach our children how to be kind so that it just becomes a part of their nature. God's desire in teaching His children is to show us, here's the verses, here's what kindness is. Now go try it. Do the best you can, but keep trying. I want it to become part of your nature, part of what you are. You know, if I am kind, I don't ever have to try to be kind. If I am kind, I don't ever forget to be kind. So God's desire is not that we have our moments of kindness. God's desire is that that His Holy Spirit so controls our hearts, our emotions, our thoughts, that we're just kind. Consider this. We get a visitor in our church, and at the end of the service, they just don't want to go home. They stick around to the very last minute. And you go talk to that person, and they say, "I just don't even want to go. I just can't believe how nice everybody's been to me here. I'm just not used to that." Well, praise God, especially if the pastor didn't even have to order you to be kind to the visitors. Well, shouldn't that be our normal experience every time we're around Christians? It shouldn't be an unusual thing when you visit a church to be treated with kindness. And if you're the one who invited somebody to church, that person should not say to you, "Wow, you were really nice today. How come I never saw you like that before?" See, the objective is not to perform acts of kindness. You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, "Try random acts of kindness." Well, that's not it. That's not it. How about try just being kind? Okay? Just be kind. And if we'll let the Lord put kindness in our heart, we won't even have to try. We'll be. All right? And you might think you're pretty smart on the Bible, but your wife doesn't need to be married to a biblical scholar who's unkind. She needs to be married to somebody who, she'd be happy if he just knew a little bit of the Bible, as long as he was kind. Okay? Be kind to our neighbors, be kind to our loved ones, our fellow church members. You understand? Okay? So let's just read that definition again. Kindness, goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. You know, if a church was kind, you'd never have to beg for money. If the church was kind, you'd never have to crack the whip to get people to tell the lost about Jesus or invite people to church. If the church was kind, the pastor would have to spend very little time trying to fix and patch up broken relationships. Kindness would take care of all of those things before they ever happened or as soon as they happened. Could we get before the Lord and spend a little time in prayer and say, "God, I need to get beyond acting kind now and again. I need to be kind. God, put the law of kindness in my heart." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Bible. Thank you, Lord. Help us to understand it. Help us to believe it. Help us to act upon it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a closing hymn.